a new way to mend a broken heart. Doctors have shown for the first time in a controlled study that they can inject stem cells into the hearts of patients suffering from heart failure. And these adult stem cells, taken from the patient's own bone marrow, will in effect regenerate the heart tissue and significantly improve heart function. If that's really what's happening, it's amazing proof of principle showing that stem cells in the bone marrow can fix ailing parts if they are put in the right place. Joining us now to talk about the new procedure and how it works is Amit Patel, a cardiac surgeon in the Division of Cardiac Surgery at the McGowan Institute for Regenerative Medicine, University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. Welcome to the program, Dr. Patel.
Thank you, Ira.
Describe who the patients were and why they were chosen.
These patients were chosen based on they have severe ischemic heart disease. Now, there's various types of heart failure, but this is due to severe coronary artery disease, which affects millions of patients. It just happens that their coronary artery disease was so severe that they had their ventricle, which is the main large chamber of their heart, not functioning as well as it should. Mm-hmm. Your chamber, mine, works at about 55 to 60%.
Right.
These patients only worked about 30 to 35%. So it's about less than half of what normal function would be.
Mm-hmm. So where did you get the idea about using stem cells to try to correct this?
They've shown in a lot of animal studies over the years that some of these stem cells might actually grow blood vessels or even grow muscle when placed in the right position or the right part of the body. So based on that theory and some early animal proof, we proceeded to human studies.
Mm-hmm. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking about the use of stem cells in this interesting heart study. So you've selected the patients, and then you collected the stem cells, and you injected the stem cells into the hearts of the patients?
Right, and so this is almost a same-day procedure. The patient comes in the morning who's going to have heart surgery. The patient is given a general anesthetic, so they don't feel any pain during the harvesting process. The bone marrow is taken from their hip bones. It's processed and given back to them at the time of surgery, where it's injected directly into the parts of their heart, which either has had a heart attack or isn't working as well as it should.
Mm-hmm. How many places do you have to put it in the heart?
It all depends on the patient. If they have a lot of areas that aren't working well, most of these patients receive 25 to 30 injections.
And the injections themselves don't damage the heart?
They don't damage the heart.
All right, so tell us what happened to the results of your study, the people in your study.
Now, the patients who just received a bypass operation, they improved their function a little bit, as has been shown in hundreds of studies. And you'd expect that if you get blood flow to a heart, which doesn't have enough blood flow, it will work better. But the people who had the bypass plus the stem cells dramatically improved over a 6 to 8 week period of time, more than they should have just if they had the bypass alone.
When you say dramatically, what kinds of figures?
Dramatic things would be if some of these patients, the New York Heart Association functional class of heart failure, one being not so bad, four being really bad, that basically if you're talking right now like we are, you'd be short of breath. That's how most of these patients were. Within 6 to 8 weeks, they were actually able to go back to work. I mean, they were able to walk, do their daily function routines.
Wow.
I mean, it was pretty dramatic to the point that, you know, we're even skeptical of how well these patients are doing. I mean, but
something magic going on here.
There's something more than just, you know, saying that, well, did these stem cells magically become blood vessels or muscles? They might even act like, you know, homing mechanisms for other cells and substances in the body to say, hey, I'm here. This area is not working well. Why don't you come and help me?
That's interesting. So you think they may have set off a cascade of events from just being there.
Exactly. That's why when people say, are these magically blood vessels or muscles, I'm like, nah, there's more than that going on. When you see this dramatic of a response, there it can't be just one single answer. There has to be a lot of things happening all together to make this type of improvement.
And did it happen in every patient who got the stem cells?
Every patient who received the stem cells did improve. Now, to what degree is variable, but no one got worse. No one had any bad side effects from this either. The biggest question always is, did they have an irregular heartbeat or an arrhythmia? which has been seen with some of the other cell therapies, like injecting muscles directly into the heart. Mm-hmm. And we've been very fortunate. We have not had any adverse or bad outcomes so far.
And so how close can, I mean, it seems, as you described it, miraculous. How close is this to a practical treatment now?
For the United States, it's not 5 to 10 years down the road like most people thought. This is very realistic that clinical studies will start happening within the year now. We're currently working with the FDA here at the University of Pittsburgh on patients who are going to be receiving heart transplants who are put on an assist device to help their heart pump better while they're waiting for a heart. So those are probably some of the safest patients to do this therapy in. And at the time of their transplant, we'll be able to get their old heart, which is taken out, and actually be able to analyze the cells so that way everyone could really know what is happening to these stem cells.
Now, this study that you're talking about with the tremendous results, these were people from South America, though, right?
Right.
Why down there? Why not up here?
It was as simple as at that time, there was the governments of both of those countries were interested in heart failure just as ours is, but they had a little more streamlined process of going through the review and actually including these patients. It wasn't that our government is against doing this.
Right.
It was just a matter of timing and just going through the process. We're currently in the process with our government.
1-800-989-8255. Matthew in Chico, California. Hi, Matthew.
How you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
Okay. Question basically was, is there a difference between using stem cells from bone marrow and, I mean, is there a reason why it has to be specifically from bone marrow? And then does this rule out having to use embryonic stem cells?
Good question.
Good question. The bone marrow stem cells have the potential of growing blood vessels, which is well known, but they can also become cells of related tissue. Embryonic stem cells may have a great potential, but at this time, using these cells, and especially since it's the patient's own cells, you really cut down not only the ethical issues, but some of the functional issues. I mean, there may be other organs in the body, like the brain or other things that, you know, you may need to use different type of stem cells. Mm-hmm. But for to treat heart failure, this seems like a very feasible, you know, treatment modality. Or
Thanks for calling, Matthew.
Okay, thank you very much.
Right. Can you treat other kinds of heart disease or cardiac problems like, you know, results of heart attacks where parts of the heart muscle die away? Can you regenerate that part?
That's what we're injecting into. We're injecting into parts that has been affected by a heart attack and areas that are not receiving enough blood. So we're treating all types of what is known as ischemic heart failure, or basically lack of oxygen.
Can you actually, when you dissect some of the tissue, see what is actually being repaired?
We have biopsies of these patients actually showing increased connections within the cells. Until we do our study here in Pittsburgh, where we're going to get an entire heart due to a transplant, that's when we can tell you the exact, you know, what type of cells and what exactly changed.
Because, you know, from what I understand in a heart attack, there's a blockage of the cardiac arteries, right?
Right, the large arteries.
The large arteries. What would this be doing to repair that?
What this would do is, one, if it's growing blood vessels, it would bring new oxygen and nutrients to this area. And it would also help recruit other cells, which could help in the remodeling or rebuilding of the infrastructure of these areas that are not working.
So it's growing peripheral arteries to go around the blockage?
Yes.
Wow.
And that's been shown in other different types of studies, but this is kind of a combined effect that you're looking for, that you're not hoping that it just becomes arteries or just becomes muscle, but kind of everything that's needed to help function better.
Mm-hmm. Irene in Massachusetts, hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Yes, thank you very much. I always enjoy listening to your show.
Thank you.
I'm curious to know if this would work for congestive heart failure.
This is what we are doing is treating congestive heart failure.
It is that. I thought so. So where do you have a website?
We actually don't have a website, but for people who are interested in this, we usually refer them to our hospital and our heart failure clinic here at the University of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Well, go to Science Friday. We'll have a link up there for you, so it'd make it easy for you to follow.
That would be great. My sister-in-law has congestive heart failure, and I'm going to pass this on to her.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you very much.
And congestive heart failure is where the heart doesn't pump enough blood.
Right.
And you showed your dramatic increase in the ability of the heart to put out more blood.
Right. In both of these groups, we started out with about 30% as an ejection fraction. The people who received stem cells ended up in the high 40s. So as an absolute number, it doesn't seem like a lot. But in these patients, where only 5 to 10% can make the difference of being short of breath while sitting to actually being able to do their daily routine in life. Mm-hmm. So these are not going to become marathon runners, but it's enough to become functional again.
Mm-hmm. Now, last year, we talked with a heart surgeon who had just done a similar injection on the heart of a 16-year-old boy who had been shot in the heart with a nail gun. It was pretty popular. I mean, that was popular. So we got a lot of press attention.
Right.
How is this experiment different from that one?
This is different, and I think that was the one that sparked some of the controversy with the FDA. Mm-hmm. And these are patients with chronic disease. That patient was a young 16-year-old who just happened to have the nail gun. The nail actually hit a part of the artery, which caused this big heart attack. They used stimulation and growth factors to grow this patient's bone marrow to stimulate these stem cells. We don't use any stimulation factors to help get the stem cells. We use straight pure bone marrow, and we just extract the stem cells that are naturally there.
Is there any future to using this as a preventive measure? For preventing, you look at somebody's heart and you say, they got all those danger signs. Maybe if we give them the stem cells earlier, they could grow peripheral arteries and head off a heart attack.
That's a great question. And we're actually looking at a group of patients who are in about class 2 to 3 heart failure before it becomes severe and see if this can actually, ward off some of the bad effects of long-term ischemic heart disease.
Something like angina, something like that.
Well, just angina alone has a lot of causes, but this would be something of that sort, that if the heart is already starting to fail in the very early stages, these are the patients that we're looking at. We did the surgical arm. We are working with cardiologists who are actually doing this with catheters too, but we found the most dramatic response or improvement when we did this surgically, just because we could actually direct the cells right into the areas that weren't working, as opposed to just globally giving the cells.
And how soon do you think the FDA will allow you to do these big studies?
It should be within the next 3 to 6 months.
That quickly? I guess people will be lining up for this study.
Well, I mean, we're very strict criteria because this isn't, we don't want this to, not only fail, but we want these people to have safe and, healthy outcomes. So we want to make sure that the people who get enrolled have the greatest potential for benefit and the least risk of, anything bad happening to them.
Dr. Patel, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Ira.
And make sure you come back when this other study starts.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me again.
Absolutely. We'll talk more about it later. It sounds quite interesting. Amit Patel is a cardiac surgeon in the Division of Cardiac Surgery at the McGowan Institute for Regenerative Medicine, University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, poet and novelist Margaret Atwood's latest book, Arcs and Crake, is out in paperback. She's going to talk about how she uses science in her fiction work. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Your chance to talk with Margaret Atwood. Don't go away.